Lifestyle matters. It's more than money.
I'm Faisal Carmally. My co-host here, Dave Popowich. How you doing, buddy?
I'm great. You?
I like the pocket square. It looks very nice.
No, it's actually the inside of the pocket. It's tricky.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Look at you, yeah, fashionista.
That's a good design feature.
Wow.
I know. I can't lose it.
You can't lose it.
That's pretty good, eh?
I never thought
Somebody
of that.
Somebody was thinking about me. I'm a target market.
There you go. You'll never forget where your pocket square is.
It's always
there. In your pocket.
In my pocket.
That's awesome.
I know. That was a good idea.
Well done, buddy. Well,
thanks for noticing.
It was nice.
Yeah.
Now that I know it's the inside of a pocket, I don't know if I like it anymore.
That was just somebody smarter than us coming up with
way smarter. Way smarter than us.
Okay. That's so nice. Speaking of smarter than us, we've got a really great show today. We're going to have Philip Peterson back on the show. He's a regular recurring guest on a quarterly basis. And he's going to help us understand the economics, like what's gone on in the past quarter, but more importantly, what can we expect going forward here?
Yeah.
Lots of stuff to talk about, right? What's impeachment going to do? What the heck is going on with Brexit? We got the trade war issues. I mean, a lot of the same stuff that we've been talking about for a while.
Correct.
Markets have been surprisingly strong. We'll get to that in a minute. But how do you make sense of all this as an investor?
Yeah. And the thing that we're seeing and hearing more is about the risks coming down. Yep. In the future. So we need to kind of understand what those could be like and how do you position your portfolio to profit and protect during these times.
So let's talk about markets because it's interesting when I think about the conversation I've been having over the past week. There's a disconnect between sort of what the equity markets have been doing, the uncertainty that still exists,
yep.
right? So there's still trading on comments, and people's gut feeling about what their headlines mean to them. Right? The fear. This isn't new to this week, but I've had lots of conversations with it because there's people going, I have one gent I was talking to this week, and he's back at a place, Faisal, where he's saying, we need to add equities back to our portfolio. 3-4 months ago, we were de-risking the portfolio, or he couldn't handle the volatility.
Yeah.
These are the kind of conversations that are coming back now, right? Because this fear of missing out is taking over again where equities are going up. Now, the question is, is it legit? What's driving it? Are we trading into it? What should you be doing? Now, part of that we'll talk about from a global economic perspective in the next couple of segments. But I think it sort of frames the, a lot of people are feeling this and they're uncertain of what to do because the emotional impact of what they see and read and hear may be different from the underlying fundamental effect of what's taking place in the economy.
Yeah, and I'm finding that people that I've been talking to are now looking for some sort of strategy, we'll use that word very lightly, on market timing.
Mm-hmm.
Buy at this point, sell at that point. They look at a chart for the last 12 months, 24 months, 36 months, and they go, if you sold here and you bought here and you sold here, look how much more money you would have made.
Right.
And I go, that's because you've got the lens of hindsight. I've asked many people to say, write down as if you were doing a computer program.
Right.
And you're going to tell the computer what to do every single step.
Right.
Buy at what point, sell at what point. And now go through periods in history where it didn't work.
Right.
And the response I get is, well, there's more computers now, so it's a lot easier. I understand it's a lot easier, but if it doesn't work, if your test fails, then what do you do and how are you going to recover and what's your fail safe or your circuit breaker,
right?
And so people are looking for some sort of quick answer to get their results. It's kind of like those quick diets and so forth.
Whatever I'm on, it's
a quick diet because I want to lose weight really quickly and not realize that it never works.
Right.
It never works.
Yeah, it's this peak to trough, but it's the peak to trough thing that people are going back to, right? I suppose there's some technical traders listening to us right now cursing our name and sending us hate mail by email at some point.
I've never heard one. Not one technician has come and said, if you follow this strategy, it is foolproof.
Right.
You'll always make money. You'll never lose. Don't worry about everything. And fundamentals don't matter. And the economy doesn't matter. It's just the charts.
Right.
Yet to have one, and I have talked to thousands of them.
Well, let's
face
it.
And not one has ever said, my system is the only system that's going to work every single time without fail, because they wouldn't be talking to me about that kind of stuff.
They wouldn't be talking to anybody.
Anybody.
Right?
Yeah.
You'd have a proprietary algorithm that you'd never hear.
And you'd never share it.
That's right.
And you'd never share it.
Exactly.
For $19.99 at your nearest online store, right?
I think everybody would accept the fact that there isn't one strategy that works through every period of time, fail safe, foolproof. That's called an arbitrage profit, and it doesn't exist.
Exactly.
Right? A risk-free profit doesn't exist. Okay. I was fascinated again. The early trade on Friday, interesting again, positive comments come out from the White House.
Yeah.
Right? With no supporting detail. So,
again.
Talking about, hey, we're, what was the word? that Kudlow used. We're down to the short strokes, I think was correct. His phrase.
You're using a little golfing analogy there.
That's right. We're down to the short strokes. And, okay, futures markets are positive. And then Wilbur Ross, Commerce Secretary, comes out, supports, that we're making significant progress. All of the stuff we've heard. But there's still some major stumbling blocks there. However, it does tell us that the market wants to trade on that optimism, right? And we've seen equity markets for the last 5 or 6 weeks continue to make headway based on commentary. Now, we have had a Fed that's been supportive of that, right? We have had 35 global central banks to date provide stimulus to the system, so we're back at that issue. So it's a fascinating time. Again, I go back to this headline issue, right? When people are going, hey, I haven't really seen any progress on anything like real material progress. We hear these comments. Equity markets want to move higher on that. Does that fundamentally change the risk-return relationship going forward? It does, but it makes it actually a worse proposition, right? Because if the market's pricing in a phase one trade deal.
Yep.
And the phase one trade deal, under the assumption of the Chinese, involves rollbacks of tariffs.
Yes.
And all we get is a freeze of tariffs. Right? We're setting up for disappointment here. I'm not saying that's going to happen. What I am saying is the headline is a scary beast for me because it's a one-line statement, right? That it tries to encompass everything in that one line. But the nuances below that, the details, the fundamentals, as we call it, really is what you got to try to keep your eye on the ball. Because if you get distracted from that, if you follow the bouncing ball off into the corner, right, you can end up in a place that you just didn't intend to be.
Yeah.
And if you get on the wrong side of that, those can be dire consequences.
This market is focusing on better than bad is good.
Yeah, we're back to that.
And if it's better than bad, it must be good. So therefore, markets are going to move forward without pure fundamentals behind it, without any policy. I remember the story, the boy who cried wolf.
Mm-hmm.
How many times did he have to cry wolf before no one came out and helped him? How many times do we have to hear the trade is getting better, the situation is getting better, and then someone says, no, it's not, and now it's getting better.
Right.
And if we continue to move the markets on headlines, not on fundamentals, that's when people will get caught off guard.
Right.
And so we don't practice that. We don't practice just pushing on headlines. We don't practice on assumptions that are based upon someone's commentary. The president, the Federal Reserve, commentary.
Well, it's speculation, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's pure sense. Yeah. It's speculation.
Yeah, and we look at a way to actually take a look at the economics, the actual fundamental numbers, and then make the decision.
Right.
Versus, well, I think this is going to happen. And next 12 months, my friend,
are
going to be very exciting for us because we're going to get a whole bunch of phone calls of people saying, oh, this candidate in the federal election in the United States is going to win, and this is how it's going to react the market. Or Trump's going to get reelected, and this is what's going to happen the market. Like, we're going to hear speculation after speculation. We're going to see people will actually put their money towards some sort of bet of what's going to be the outcome.
Right.
We all got shocked when Trump got in,
and
we thought, hey, this is going to be a bit of an issue.
Right.
And those markets took off.
Took off right away,
And then we saw the markets fall 20% last quarter of 2018,
fourth quarter,
when nothing changed, nothing happened. It was just commentary.
Yeah, it was actually U.S. Fed Chairman commentary. It wasn't even White House commentary.
Not even action, just commentary.
Yeah.
And they scared the market. So be aware this is going to the next 12 months is going to be fun. I think it's going to be very exciting.
Now I want to be clear that we're not saying that you don't make some assumptions about what the outcome is going to be, but you also have to risk it, right? Because I remember very distinctly, and I've talked about this before, a call prior to the Trump election where Trump's getting elected and defaulting immediately to China on treasury payments. And we're going, wow, under those assumptions, you've got a complete breakdown of paper currency, of fiat currencies, right? What are we going to do about that? And when we got down to it, we had to put a risk probability on that. What's the probability it's going to happen? Because you don't know, right? Maybe the White House is telling the truth this time. Maybe they're not.
Yeah.
Right, we know they're negotiating in public for sure, but you don't know what that outcome. So you got to factor it into your assumptions, and you got to have a reasonable thesis and a probability around that thesis.
Correct.
And then humbly ask yourself if you're wrong and it's worse than expected, what happens? And if you're wrong and it's better than you expected, what's going
to
happen?
Coming up after the break, Dave, we're going to be talking to Philip Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
He's a recurring guest of ours. He gives us his forecast. He's with Manulife Investments. what we're going to find out is, should you sell all your stocks now? Get out of it, because there's something happening out there, and let's see if what he thinks about that. And we're going to talk about these types of strategies and investment ideas on Tuesday, November 19th, 7 p.m. at the Four Points Sheraton Hotel in West Calgary. You need to reserve your seat, so give us a call, 966-8400. That's 966-8400, or you can register online at morethanmoneyradio.com. So, should we sell all of our stocks? Hide in cash, because something's coming down the pike. We're going to find out right after the break. You're listening to 770 CHQR and More Than Money.